Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today. Today we're looking at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we're continuing in our series. We're actually going to finish up today our series that we've entitled Never Alone. Again, we're looking at this idea of never being alone. The Bible says God himself, he starts out by recreating the earth and doing all these things and creating Adam and putting him in this beautiful place. And then he makes a very interesting statement. He says this, of all that he has done so far in its perfection, he says this, it's not good that man should be alone. And so we were created to live in community. And the reason is simple, is that this is we need help to successfully navigate life and to do God's will. Amen. And so we first looked at this truth that God is with us. And he said it this way. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. And so because God is always with us, we never have to be alone. And then last week we looked at family and this wonderful truth that because God created family, that we'll never have to walk alone. I'll never walk alone because family. I realize, as we said last week, that there's family that maybe they live long distance, or there's some who are even estranged to their family. But what we're talking about is this idea of a small core of people that you do life with. And that if we was to ask you, they would actually be considered, yeah, that's my brother, that's my sister, even though not by blood, but you have a core of people that you walk with, that you do life with. And I believe that that is God's will for us there again, successfully navigating this life. We need that core of people. And so today I want to talk about the church. And so we've just entitled this message very simply, The Church. And our foundational thought is this, I'll never stand alone. Because God has created the church, we have this beautiful truth that we'll never have to stand alone. If you've ever had to stand up underneath something that was really maybe difficult or overwhelming, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. It could be a very good thing, but yet it's overwhelming when you stand back and you think about it, when you kind of look over the big picture. And it begins to overwhelm you. It begins to wear you down and weight you down. And if you've ever been there, you can easily understand why God created us to live in community and why he had this plan. He's actually created a plan specifically for each and every one of us so that we don't have to be alone. Amen. And I'll tell you why. Because whether you're rich and famous, whether you're poor and unknown, or somewhere in between, here's a truth that I believe we all can relate to, is this. It's hard to carry the weight of life on your own. It's hard to carry sometimes the weight of life individually. Now, I understand that there's lots of things that we carry individually. I get that. And there's some things that we have to carry alone and only trust God as he is with us, as he wants us to grow in him. There's going to be some challenges that maybe like Daniel in the lion's den. You remember that story? You know, but Daniel wasn't alone, but he had to face those lions by himself. Amen. I'm glad I'd never had to do that. Daniel might have been skinny, and they thought, but boy, if I walked in there, hey, there's enough for all of us. Yeah, you know what I mean. But I'm glad I never have to, I've had to face that. But I have had to face some things alone because God was trying to stretch me and trying to grow me. But I knew that he was with me. Amen. So in spite of maybe those times, the reality of life is that we can't carry it all by ourselves. We need each other. We need help. And so God created family specifically for that. And also he created the church. Now, just for clarification this morning, and I know that you know this, but just to make sure that we're all on the same page. When I say church, I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about you and I, children of God, God's family, you know, the eternal part of this equation, right? Not the temporal. Amen. We'll never want to sacrifice the eternal for the temporal, right? Yeah, we always want to make sure that our focus is the eternal. So we're talking about the family of God. And the Bible has a lot to say about the family of God and kind of what that should look like. And so today we're going to look at what it looks like to help each other to stand, to be able to, there again, bear up underneath the weight of life, the good times, the hard times, you know, the call of God that he asks us to do, that those, just let's put it this way, just kind of the day-to-day things. So are you in Romans chapter 12? How about the rest of you? Hey, amen. Romans chapter 12. And let's start with verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a holy and a living sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. So the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is giving inspiration and saying to us that we should be a living sacrifice. Now, when you think of sacrifice, especially in biblical times, you know, you're thinking of this altar and people bringing in animals and taking their lives on this altar and shedding blood, and you would be 100% right. And so in that context, you know, you'd be right to ask, well, how can I be a living sacrifice? I believe this is that we are to live our lives in such a way that we're constantly open. We're consistently laying down our lives, submitting ourselves, if you will, to his plan, to his purpose, to God's will in the earth. In any type of situation, we're just going to say, you know what? Like the prophet of old, say, here am I, send me. I'm going to, whatever you need in the moment, that's me. I'm your Johnny on the spot. And so to be that living sacrifice, it's simply maintaining this awareness that in any type of situation, God can and wants to use you to be a blessing, to share his love, amen, to be a light, to be that salt, if you will, in the earth, to make a difference. And so we just walk with this awareness. In other words, we're an emissary. We're an emissary on behalf of the kingdom of God. What's an emissary? Simple. It's a person that is sent on a special mission. There's specific things that need to be accomplished in a specific area of the world. And that's what you have been sent to do. That's what I've been sent to do, to accomplish on behalf of the kingdom of God specific things in the earth. Did you know that God created us to be the tangible presence of his love in people's lives? I want to say that one more time. We have been created by God himself to be the tangible presence of his love in people's lives. God, as he always does, leads by example. And we see this all throughout scripture, one specifically in John, the 3rd chapter and verse 16, where the Bible says that God loved the world so much that he sent a tangible presence of his son. Amen. Amen. That Jesus himself left and came to the earth and put on flesh so that we could have a tangible healer, a tangible teacher, a tangible deliverer, and even a tangible sacrifice. Something that we could see, something that was there, amen, that we could actually hear and experience him. And do you know what? Before he left the earth, talking about Jesus, here's what he said. I want you to go and do the very same thing. I want you to go and be the tangible presence of my love, of my healing, of my encouragement, of my light, and of my joy and peace, and so on and so on and so on in people's lives. That's what I want you to do. Amen. And so I want you to actually be God's love in action. Love that people can actually see. Love that people can actually hear. They can actually touch. That they can actually experience. We're kind of that hands-on part, if you will. So when it comes to helping each other to stand, to be able to, there again, bear up underneath the weight of life, we're actually there, standing with, side by side, literally being the tangible presence of God's love to our family here at the warehouse. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see with their own eyes your good works." No long distance stuff here. More than a text, and texts are great. More than a like on Facebook, and that's awesome. But I'm talking about that they can actually see your good works. When it comes to your church and family, your brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not talking about long distance. We're talking about standing with. Not this far away stuff, but we're close enough to them so that they can actually see your help. And because you're there and they can experience that tangible presence of God and His love in their lives, here's what He said will happen. It will cause them to glorify our Father in heaven. And so it's important that we be there. Sometimes people don't think that their presence really matters, and that's unfortunate. And the reasons can range from literally, "I don't care," all the way to, "I really don't feel like I have anything to offer." And there can be a thousand reasons in between, and they all can seem reasonable and legitimate to us in the moment. And so we're not going to necessarily unpack those reasons today and why they would be wrong. But here's what I would say is, whatever the reason may happen to be in your particular situation, the truth of the matter is that when you're not here, it's noticed. And the Bible tells us why. Let's continue to read in Romans chapter 12. Let's look at verse 4 together. "Just as each of us has a body with many members, but it makes up one body. And they all don't have the same function." And so he says, the same thing happens in the body of Christ. "So we," he says, "who are many, are nevertheless just one body in Christ. Individually, we are a part of one another, mutually dependent upon each other." And so as much as we're an emissary on behalf of the kingdom of God, we're also connected. You and I, we're connected. The Bible says that though we're individual, we're one body. Now, there again, this isn't just for us here, though that's the context of the message, but you're part of this global body all over the earth today. Millions upon millions of believers who make up the body of Christ. And yet we are individual, yet we are one. The Bible says that even though we are one, we are part of this bigger thing. And so think of it this way. When God created you, He did so with the body in mind. Sometimes we think it's just the opposite. Just because of our human nature, we think that we're God's gift to everything. You know, we're all that in a bag of chips, right? But here's the idea. What I want you to understand is to flip that, if you will, to the fact that when God created you, He had the big picture. He had the whole family in mind. So you were created, there again, designed, if you will, to fit and to function in a certain place in the body of Christ. And so because of that type of connection that we were created, what happens is that we are mutually dependent upon each other. In other words, we need each other in our place, doing what God's called us to do in order for us to be able to accomplish His will. So what happens when one does not show up, when one isn't in its place, something's missing? Trust me when I say it's noticed. I remember the first vehicle that I had. It was a 1968 Chevy Stepside pickup truck. And so in those days, money was kind of tight. And so the budget was kind of skimpy, I guess, if you will. And so because of that, I did most of the mechanic work on the truck myself. And so I remember one day I was going to head to the store. So I went out, I hopped in the truck like I always did. I went to start the truck, And when I went to start the truck, I heard this sound I'd never heard before. It was like a kind of like, you know what I mean? And I thought, what in the world is that? You know, there again, I'm kind of new to all this stuff. You know, I'm. You know, here's what Dad taught me. If you don't know how to do it, just dig in. We'll figure it out as we go. Just start taking things apart. Well, Dad always had the ability to take it apart and put it back together right. You know, sometimes I'd have a bolt or two left over, and I think, well, no wonder. These things are so expensive. Look at all the extra stuff you don't need. Yeah. So anyways, I'm trying to figure out what this is. And so we'll come to find out what happened was on this particular vehicle, as I begin to investigate, there's this thing called a flywheel that is connected to the motor. And so when you go to start the vehicle, there's this kind of piston that's got teeth on the end of it in the starter that engages that flywheel and causes the motor to turn on and start. Well, what happened was on that flywheel, there was a tooth missing. Just one. One little tooth was missing. And guess what? Every time I go to start that vehicle, and when I come across that one particular spot, I go, you know. And that's not supposed to be how it is. You know what I'm talking about. And here's the problem, is that when if I happen to stop somewhere, and it stopped right on that part that was missing, I was stuck and not going anywhere. That was it. Because there was nothing to engage the starter to the teeth that was on that flywheel. And so I wasn't going anywhere. Well, by the time I saved the money up for that flywheel, because there again, things were a little bit tight, and it was only a few weeks, what had happened was that in those few weeks, not only was one tooth missing, but next thing you know, there was three or four, five missing right alongside both sides of that one tooth that was missing. Not only that, but come to find out, because that one tooth wasn't there, whenever that would engage, it would cause the starter to slip until, you know, and so it actually did damage to the starter. So I actually had to have the starter rebuilt as well. But you see, because the one tooth was missing, what had happened was it added stress to the tooth directly to its left and the tooth directly to its right. And eventually they said, we can't take this anymore. We're out of here. And they broke too. So after it was all said and done, it ended up being a whole lot extra time, a whole lot extra money, a whole lot of extra labor, simply because one tooth was missing. And you know, sometimes we can think, I'm just one tooth in 99. There's probably at least 99 or 100 teeth on that flywheel. And you may sometimes think, I'm just one of many. Nobody's going to miss me. Nobody's even really going to care. You know, it really doesn't even matter if I show up or not. But trust me when I say, the one is always missed by the wheel. And it's especially missed by the one that's immediately to the right and the one that's immediately to the left, meaning the local family of believers. Here's why. Is because God Himself designed you to be in a specific place so that you could help stand. Why do you think Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18? He said, what do you think if a man owns 100 sheep? And only one of them wanders away. Will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? In the same way, your heavenly Father is not willing that any one of these little ones be lost. What I want us to understand is it's not just that they are lost and not a child of God, but it's also because they have a place. And while you may be sitting here today and you may not necessarily be lost in the sense of being a child of God, when you're not in your place, it's so much harder and it costs so much more to get where God wants us to go as a family. You see, you're connected for a reason. You're connected for a reason. Hear me, church. You're connected for a reason because God wants you to be that tangible presence of His love in the church family to help us to stand individually as well as corporately up under the weight of life, the good times and the bad times, the will of God, all of those things that day to day, God has a place for you and He wants you to be His presence in the earth. In people's lives. So let's read on. Look at verse 5. So we who are many are nevertheless just one body, and individually we're parts one of another, mutually dependent upon each other. But look at this, verse 6. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. This is one of many scriptures in the Bible that talks about how each one of us, God has invested gifts and certain things into us. Some people say, I have nothing to offer. That's not true. God has placed inside of you much to give to those people round about you, those people that you come in contact with. He's given you gifts, those things that you're naturally good at. They just kind of come easy to you. Have you ever come across somebody who loves to do math? I did awesome right up until Algebra 1. When I got into Algebra 1, everything fell. I'll tell the bottom fell out from underneath my math skills. I could understand it, but never come up with the right answer. That's not good in school. I'm good at regular math, but man, when you start adding vowels, that just ain't right. But yet it's needed in the earth, right? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And so God gifted us people with math skills to help us figure out things that if it was up to me, we'd still be living in caves. But God gives each and every one of us specific gifts, those things that we're naturally good at. There's things that you're naturally good at. They just come easy to you. And you know what? Not only that, but we have the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that He'll baptize us with heavenly fire and open up to us supernatural gifts. There's 9 of them that He specifically talks about in Corinthians. And they will help us to be effective in the place that God's called us to be. Here again, I want you to understand that when I say be, make that in parentheses, make that emphasis and underline it, because if you're not there, then you're not tangible enough so that you can be hands-on and help in those areas God's called you to be and to function. And so what should our response be in light of these gifts and these things that God has given to us? The Bible doesn't complicate it, and I'm so glad about that. But He makes it plain. Look at verse 7. He says, if your gift is serving, then serve. If your gift is teaching, then get on it. Teach. If it's to encourage, then encourage. If it's to contribute to the need of others, then be generous. And He goes on and on and on. In other words, what we need to do is we need to understand that we're a vessel. You and I, we are created in God's image to be a vessel. You see, a vessel simply pours out what's been poured in. It only stores what it has until it's poured out. When it's picked up and it's tipped over, what happens? It freely pours out its contents. That's what we've been called to do. Just be a vessel. It's a simple principle. And yet, trust me when I say the flesh will fight you every step of the way. And the enemy will give you all kinds of ammunition that you need to completely stop this flow in your life. And let me tell you why. Because when you get the truth that you're a vessel and that you've been created to pour deep down in your spirit, it will open up your understanding to the point to where you understand that God owns it all and I'm just a steward. That I'm just part of His creation and I have been created and called to do His will, to pour. And when you get that type of an understanding, you guess what will happen? It'll get rid of greed in your life. Boom, it'll be gone. It'll get rid of worry in your life. What about tomorrow? How are we going to make it tomorrow? How are we going to make it next week? How are we going to this and how are we going to that? When you begin to understand the awesomeness of God and His ability to pour into you, it doesn't matter about tomorrow, because you know God's got tomorrow just like He's got today, just like He had yesterday. It'll get rid of fear in your life. It'll get rid of jealousy in your life. It'll get rid of all kinds of things. You know what? It'll even get rid of selfishness in your life. And it'll bring a contentment that you'll not find anywhere else in the earth. You'll not find it anywhere. It'll change your life. And it'll change those that you've been called to stand with. Imagine for a moment, if you can, a world without greed, jealousy, selfishness. You say, Pastor, that's a pretty tall order. And I don't know if that could ever happen. And you may be right, but I'll tell you what we can do. With God's help and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can change our lives. We can change our homes. We can change our church and create a place here that operates outside of selfishness, outside of jealousy, outside of worry and fear. And we can help each other to stand and to bear up in those times of life where they're good and where they're bad, just the day-to-day things, and get God's will accomplished in the earth. And here's how we do it. Don't isolate yourself. Don't isolate yourself. But understand, because you're a child of God, that you have worth. That you bring something to the table that's needed. Even if your place is down at the end and not at the head, trust me when I say those that are around you need your supply. Don't isolate yourself, but show up and be there. Be there in the moment. Don't hold back. When you feel the Master picking you up and wanting to pour out of you, freely give. You'll be amazed at what we'll accomplish in this house for God.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.